Beautiful morning it is, 18 degrees, headed for a top of 23. At some point during the day, it'll get to the magical number of 21 and the world will be perfect. But will the world be perfect if we have a new high-speed broadband? Now, the person sitting across the desk, he's smiling. As soon as I said high-speed broadband, that's Simon Hackett, the founder of Internode and our resident IT expert. Simon, it's a dream waiting to come true for you, isn't it? This idea of this brilliant broadband that you want to see.
Well, and it's clearly the place I live in a mental sense, and it's the thing I like being involved with. Yeah, and I think for me the long term vision about broadband in Australia, in particular because I live here, is about ubiquitous access to it. It's about that very, for me, that very utopian notion of giving everyone access to the same level of utility from this thing. Much as we expect from power and gas and phones.
Okay. Well, let's try and cut the politics out of this. We're going to play a little bit of Malcolm Turnbull, and we can hear what he had to say, and then we'll give you a little bit of Stephen Conroy. So we'll have those two. Then we can get the politicians, put them in a box, and put them to one side, hopefully, for the rest of the discussion this morning. And if you want to give us a call, 1-300-222-891, 1-300-222-891. We've already got Kathy on the line. So, Kathy, bear with us while we just deal with the political side of this debate. Just very briefly, Malcolm Turnbull, opposition spokesperson on this matter of how flash our system should be.
The, you know, you can't put the genie back into the bottle, and you have to. We have to do the best job we can with what the Labor government has set up, which is the NBN Co. And so our commitment is to complete the NBN, to complete the construction of the national broadband network, but to do so sooner, cheaper, and in a way that is much more affordable to customers.
Okay, so that's a cheaper, more affordable system. That's what's being offered there. And then now Minister Conroy, this is what he had to say.
Do you have a final message for the voters?
Absolutely. If you want faster, true broadband, not the fraud band that we get currently here in Australia, you've got to get on board with Kevin's broadband policy. It's about delivering faster broadband to all Australians. We'll be building a national high-speed fibre-to-the-node network that will reach 98% of Australians' homes and businesses, delivering a minimum of 40 times faster than most Australians get at the moment.
Okay, so there you go. You've got to get 40 times faster than you get at the moment. But what does that actually mean for people? Kathy, you've got a question. Good morning, Kathy.
Oh, good morning. Yes, I'm wondering, as I understand it, the new broadband will compulsorily be brought to every house. The old copper will be torn out. There are many, many thousands of people like me, I'm sure, who don't want broadband, who either don't understand it, don't use the internet, or can't afford it. And all we have is our landline phone, which I believe is connected to the copper, and all we want to keep is our landline phone. Now, if the copper's torn up, and if this other system is brought to our houses, what happens to us?
All right, Kathy, I'm sure Simon's thought of that one, but it's something we get a lot here. We often get people ringing up here, Simon, saying, why do you always talk about the web and the internet? I haven't got it. You're going to give 98% of Australians will have coverage, but not 98% of Australians have the internet, do they?
No, that's true. And to address the direct concern there, and it's a real and genuine one. One of the things that's designed into the national broadband network, the one that will be built regardless of which side of politics continues to build it in the future, is that when the copper is replaced or augmented with the ability to bring broadband in, the phone service still remains there absolutely as well. So if you wind up with a fibre coming into your home in place of the copper, the box that goes on the wall, all at no direct cost to you, will actually have two telephone jacks in it as well.
So Kathy can put up a sign like, no hawkers here, no broadband here, I just want my phone.
Yeah, but what'll happen is the phone will still be there, it'll keep working, but imagine in 20 or 30 years' time, a future person in the same location may in fact want that broadband, and it'll be available. So this is about seeding the country with the capacity to turn the broadband on without losing the telephone.
And if she votes for Malcolm Turnbull and he gets elected, she will have a little bit of copper still going to her phone. And maybe, depends
where she is. So if the network is completed into a particular home using the remnant of the copper or using the replacement with fibre, you should still get the same result. You keep the phone service and you'll get broadband added on.
And can people say, look, I don't want the broadband? You can say you don't want it?
There's no requirement to take the broadband. You can keep just using it for the phone.
Just using it for the
phone.
But
the whole point is that now your home or your premises is set up for a future person who may, in fact, want to add the broadband on. So that home won't be, in fact, you know, won't be down on its capacity to be a part of the future at the point where a future person in that property wants to become a part of it.
Okay. Now, if you'd like to ask Simon Hackett a question, like Kathy, give us a call on 1300 222 891, 1300 222 891, or send us an SMS 0467 922 891. We've got a text saying, what about Mount Gambier? When will the NBN be rolled out in Mount Gambier? Seriously, as the largest city outside of Adelaide, we should be the one that gets it first. Us gamers are sick of high ping and sad lag. Hey. Says Frosty.
Yeah, I can tell you what, my 5-year-old hates sad lag. I can only relate to that. He really does. He bowls up to me occasionally and says, Daddy, my Minecraft game is laggy, which is really quite funny to me.
I find it extremely funny. See, I live in a Taliban household where my children don't play those sorts of things. And you've got a 5-year-old going, my game's laggy.
One of the challenges here amongst the people that would like the broadband to turn up in their place better, stronger, faster is, but what about when do I get it in particular? And one of the sad necessities of a bill that might take 10 years, might take 15 or 20, is that somebody goes first and somebody goes last.
Well, what about Mount Gambier?
The challenge here is that the people that decide the rollout order are NBNCo themselves, the people building the network. And there's 2 points. If you want to know where you exist in the current order, the NBNCo website has a really nice tool to find out.
And then you could petition them.
Exactly. And right. So it's NBNCo are the people to whack over the head about that.
Okay. John from Happy Valley.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yes, yep. We can.
Oh, fine. Thanks very much.
The copper's working perfectly.
Oh, good on it.
So is the megaphone.
Yeah, right. I just want to know I'll draw an analogy. An amplifier, a first-class, top-quality amplifier that cost $10,000, and you pump it through a pair of ordinary speakers, the quality of what comes out is purely and simply controlled by the pair of speakers at the receiving end from the amplifier. Now, let's take our improved broadband situation. If I'm on wireless, say, in the house here, or alternatively, if my situation or the equipment I have is not 100% up to this, obviously my reception is going to be controlled by the quality that I have at my end.
Yep.
In other words, to get the best out of this unit, I'm going to have the best at my end.
Oh, that's possible.
This is absolutely a case of the chain being as strong as its weakest link. The point being that the National Broadband Network, regardless again of politics, is about trying to make the network not be that weakest link, so that at whatever point you want to upgrade what's in your house.
So if John wants to have low quality equipment at the other end, he can have it. If Simon wants to have the highest quality equipment so your child cannot have a laggy game, you can have it.
Right, but if the network behind everybody is bad, then everyone suffers for it. And so there's no problem with running equipment that's old or not quite as quick in your home. When you do improve it, you will gain increased benefit.
Steve from Happy Valley as well, getting lots of calls from Happy Valley. Good morning,
yes,
Steve.
Yes, we're reasonably happy here.
Steve from reasonably Happy Valley.
I guess one of the queries I have, we started to touch on it with that last caller, because I'd heard some time ago that, we've got several HD LCD TVs in the house. We do have broadband, and we actually get fairly good at the moment, but let's assume we have the connection to our house, like you were saying. I'm just wondering, at some stage I heard that you might have to upgrade certain things in your home. Now, if that's true, I'd like to know, because no one's actually mentioned that any further. Is that actual fact the case? So you're going to have to do put at your expense. I presume the government's not going to go inside the house, so and I'd like to know.
Okay, well, we're getting lots of calls, so let's see if we can get through them quickly.
Briefly, the answer is yes. You get the most benefit when you make upgrades in your own house, but you don't have to do that immediately.
Okay, you don't have to do it, all right? Another call from Happy Valley. We should call it low-level contentment valley, I think, this morning. Hello, Jerome.
Yes, good morning. I have a point to make that I think has been lost on everybody with this Turnbull proposal for the NBN.
Yep.
He's talking about it requiring 60,000 fibre-to-the-node conversion places.
Cabinets, yep.
Cabinets, that's right. They're not going to fit in a shoebox underground, so they've got to be above ground, which means they're likely to be something like a cubic metre in size, perhaps, similar to power transformers that are sitting on the side of the road where people have underground power. And I cannot imagine most of us wanting one of these things sitting out the front of our place. And everybody's overlooked that. You know, if Turnbull made it obvious that they're going to have these things all over the place and they're going to need maintenance when vehicles run into them and things like that, I think most of us would be horrified to have these things around, and frankly, I want the full NBN. I don't want Turnbull's alternative.
Right. Well, here's the thing about a couple of things about the boxes, the cabinets. Yeah, they are relatively big. The fibre, straight fibre to the premise also requires cabinets, but they're much smaller and they don't require power. And one of the things that's been missed in this debate a bit, it turns out that those big cabinets you're talking about actually chew a lot of power because they have a lot of electronics in them that are not present when you build a pure fibre network. So a gentleman called Dr. Rod Tucker from the University of Melbourne was pointing this out the other day, that you need about three little power stations worth of additional power generation in Australia to actually run a copper network versus a fibre one. To be clear, that power is being consumed now. So this is about a saving we could obtain in the future, not about it getting worse.
Okay. And we'll take some more calls in a moment. We've got Owen of Highbury and Brett from the Hills waiting on the line.
Sonia Feldman. Got an issue you want to know more about and don't know how to go about it? Give the Afternoons team a call this afternoon. We'll take your suggestions, choose one, and then set our producers the challenge to find out more after 3 o'clock. Be a part of the producers' challenge and see whether we can beat the clock to come up with the goods. Plus, Tim Sexton is along to talk music. All of that today on Afternoons with me, Sonia Feldhoff, here on 891 ABC Adelaide.
And here on 891 Mornings, we're talking to Simon Hackett, the founder of Internode. The switchboard has lit up. The copper wires are hot this morning. Owen of Highbury. Good morning, Owen.
Hi, how are you going?
Good.
Good. Look, just a quick question. I was just down at the local library the other day with looking at the box that's connected to the house for the optical fibre coming in. Now, this is probably more for the caller earlier saying that they just want the phone for the... they don't want to replace a copper network. Does that box that ends up on the outside of the house, does that have the battery backup in it, or is that going to be an optional extra sort of thing that you've got to pay for?
The box that goes in on the end of the fibre network has a battery, and the government actually over time have been changing their mind a little about whether they will supply the battery, backup battery, everyone, or whether it'll be optional. It looks at the moment like it'll be optional, like it'll be up to you whether you want the extra battery.
Yeah, just because, I mean, I know most people have like the cordless phones these days, and in the event of a power failure, they generally don't work anyway. But if you have a phone that's sort of currently powered by the copper network, that's not actually going to work at that point, is it?
It won't if you don't take the battery. So you can either take the battery, or you can realistically use your mobile phone as the backup in the unlikely event the power fails.
Yeah,
I think it's mobile phones that have actually reduced the pressure on that question.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. Just for the older generation that maybe don't have a mobile phone, or just thought maybe it needed to be asked.
All right, thanks, Owen. So
if you're concerned about it, you can have a battery to go with it to make sure it keeps going.
All right, well, let's see if we can whip through these calls. We're getting so many, I don't think we'll be able to deal with them all this morning, but we'll keep going. Simon, you've opened up a can of worms. Brett from the Hills, good morning, Brett.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Look, I just wanted to make the obvious point that, this argument's been dumbed down to, the speed of downloading movies and accessing Facebook. It's actually not about that. What we're talking about with the copper and the fibre that will replace it is that that's a delivery mechanism. It's a medium to deliver services. We need to look beyond the web and the services that we currently have and think about services that, we haven't even considered yet, like the delivery of television, for example, which would free up a whole lot of radio spectrum, and probably a bunch of other things we haven't even thought about. I mean, it's short-sighted just to focus on, you know, movies and Facebook and the things that we're using now.
All right, we'll take that as as your comment. Thanks, Brett. Carolyn from Seacombe Heights. Good morning, Carolyn.
Oh, yes, good morning. I've just got one question. Currently, we've got broadband coming into the house through the Foxtel cable, and it's very, very good. So how is that going to be affected?
And the current government policy is that that will be replaced by the National Broadband Network. So you'll get an NBN box that will cover, take your broadband in instead.
Oh,
The new policy may involve keeping the hybrid fibre coax broadband around. So the jury's open on that one.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks, Carolyn.
Well, thank you.
We've got lots of texts as well, Simon. I don't know how we're going to deal with all this morning. I've never seen the text line so busy, but look, let's take Rose's. She'd like to know what other countries are doing this, please. I appreciate someone with your opinion, Simon. So people want to hear what you've got to say.
Right. In terms of a pure fibre network, there are a number of countries, a number of Asian countries, places like Singapore and Hong Kong that are deploying very widespread fibre networks. Places like the United States, it's more of a hodgepodge. In some areas in the US, there are now pure fibre networks. In other areas, there are very much tired old copper and coax-based networks still around as well. So, yeah, it varies. It varies a lot.
Carolyn from Seacombe Heights. Good morning, Carolyn. Arthur, let's go to Arthur from Blackwood. Good morning, Arthur.
Yes, we're 200 metres off the road in suburban Adelaide, Blackwood. Are they seriously going to dig a trench down the steep, long driveway to connect us to the home? And if so, what would the cost be?
The cost of doing that last bit of trenching is, in fact, one of the fundamental reasons why the coalition policy is about not digging that last trench up. The counterpoint is that one of the rather cunning ways of getting fibre to your home is to use that copper, make that the last job of that copper to be a drawstring to actually drag the fibre down the hill to your house. So there are some creative answers to that. Literally getting the copper to donate one last task to you, which is to be the drawstring to get the fibre there.
Let's go to Nick now from Henley Beach. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well.
Good. Simon, I've just upgraded to cable from ADSL to Plus. It's actually not much better, if not worse. Do I need to just play with my channels within the modem settings?
No, it's this is going to sound funny from someone who's got a history of working in an internet service provider, but it's probably your internet service provider. One of the challenges here is that the cable network is shared between you and the rest of your neighbourhood. One of the advantages of the new network is that it'll be a lot less sharing of capacity. So you may well just be suffering from the fact that what you're using is very popular in your area, and it is one of the things that the new network should improve quite a lot.
Okay, thank you.
That little tweet on Nick's line there, was that part of the problem in his network? Could you hear that little tweet?
Yes. It sounded like someone was just polishing the copper while we talked.
Oh, okay. Now, listen, Simon. We keep the politics out of the copper. We're going to...
No, polishing it, not necessarily putting it up as an election-winning campaign.
Okay. Kathy of Adelaide. Morning, Kathy.
Well, hi. I was on before and I didn't get a chance to ask any questions. Look, I just want to ask some quick questions. If I can keep my landline phone... because I can have it plugged into one of these two points that are going to be there. Do I have to buy a new digital phone? I've heard that that's the case.
No, you don't. The sockets in the box will work perfectly well with your existing phone.
Okay. Now, this box that's going to be somewhere, is it going to be in my house, outside my house, and how big is it?
It's about the size of a lunchbox, and it's generally either outside the home or just in a convenient spot that suits you inside.
Is that it, Kathy?
No. Oh. And also now I have the landline phone with a provider and I only pay for the landline phone. But all the new providers are going to want packages. Will I ever find one that will just let me have my landline phone? Is that going to cost me more?
No, absolutely. One of the things that's been an enormous focus of government policy around building the NBN, sincerely, is guaranteeing that if all you want is the phone, you can keep using that and that the price of that in isolation won't go up. Okay. Sincerely, that's been a huge focus.
That's it, Kathy?
Yep, that's it. Thank
Good
you.
On you. Thank you. Good on you. Rob, good morning, Rob.
Hi, is that me?
Yes,
it's you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the philosophical view that the government has of having this sparkling, nice fibre network everywhere, because it gives everyone absolutely everything they're ever going to need, effectively. But I think, well, why don't we do the same thing with water and give everyone pure, crystal water, because that would be really nice in Adelaide. And I think, well, there's a cost to everything surely what the coalition's going to do, and I'd be interested in Simon's view on this, surely what the opposition's going to provide is a solution that's going to provide greater bandwidth and flexibility and possibilities in the future, with the potential for those people who really do need to do something super high fast to be able to do that. And I guess the second part of that is, I live in Lockleys and I've got pretty crap ADSL, and always have, and I don't think this is going to be fixed in my lifetime, just about.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Well, second thing first, the pretty crap ADSL is because the copper's probably pretty crap. So therein lies the interesting challenge, right? Do we replace the copper or do we get the last gasp out of it? And to go back to the first part of your question, the challenge here is that the new policy is to build a network in a shorter time frame and to build it at a lower cost, but it will be less of a network in terms of its speed. And so the long-term question is that interim upgrade of the copper, how long is that upgrade going to last us? In other words, if we get to a speed that's, let's say, two or three times the current speed, for how long into the future will two or three times the current speed be enough? And when, therefore, will we have to go back and do it with fibre anyway? Therein, that's the really difficult question here.
All right. John of Salisbury East. Good morning, John.
G'day. How are you going, guys?
Very well.
Good.
Quick question in regards to the cost provision of packages by ISPs like Internode. Are those sort of packages likely to change? You know, I'm on a 100, and I think it's with someone, 120 gig on peak and 120 off peak. Now, of course, with super fast speeds, there's a risk of that disappearing very quickly, depending on what you're doing. So will providers offer new packages for NBN users?
Yeah, well, providers are already offering NBN packages, so you can actually literally go and look at your favourite provider, whoever that is, and have a look at their NBN packages now because they're all selling them. The reality is you'll be able to, the way it's panning out is you'll be able to get a similar outcome to that which you get today at a similar price. And if you want more downloads or higher speed, if you want to get more out of the network, you'll pay a bit more for that. But you will have that choice, pay more to get more or pay the same to get what you've currently got.
All right, John, thanks for your call. Kathleen, now we've got to try and get through all these before the news headlines.
I live in a nursery road street with about 13 houses, and at present we have all sorts of troubles with copper wire that gets wet. If we had Malcolm's node at the end of the street, there are six businessmen in separate houses along here who have international business as well as interstate business, and they would be fighting with the copper wire, wouldn't they?
Well, one of the things the coalition have said is in places where the copper is genuinely past it, that they would still be quite amenable to the idea of replacing it with fibre. The difficulty is in deciding what the definition of past it is. You know, how tired does it have to be before you replace it?
All right. Mark from Port Broughton. Good morning, Mark.
Just one comment on the call before you had from the Hills about using the copper as a draw wire. A lot of these places only have old 10-mil conduit going up, which you probably wouldn't be able to get fibre through without breaking it, or they're very solid, which would mean you'd have to trench to the house. So where does that added cost come from?
Yeah, well, certainly there are absolutely going to be cases where you've got to put a new trench in, and that is one of the fundamental differences in cost between the two primary policies at the moment. Is that these networks are called last mile networks, to borrow an American phrase, but really the majority of the labour cost is focused in the last 100 metres, in the last 50 metres.
Okay.
It's a challenge.
But what you're saying, Simon, is that you could actually pull the fibre optic through the existing conduit if that conduit is there. So
if it's there and if it's up to it. So,
well,
so
how many houses have got the conduit?
Quite a few of them, but it depends very much on their age. You know, the very old installations can have nothing. It can just be buried in the ground, and you might literally need to just dig another little trench.
And a lot of them go through the air, don't they?
Yeah, if they're aerial, then I guess they'll follow that path or maybe have to go underground in that case. But certainly the labour cost of getting into the house is the majority of difference
of the cost?
Yeah,
okay.
The majority of the cost difference.
Difference. All right.
Between the policies.
Diane of Clarence Gardens. Good morning, Diane.
Hi. How are you? I just have a question. Who pays if they're going to put a lunchbox size box on the front of my house, which I wouldn't be happy with? Who pays for the connection from the box to the actual phone line where it actually is into the house, where it enters that house?
Okay. Yeah. if you've got an existing telephone service, then the process of installing this absolutely includes bringing it in and reconnecting it to the current phone. So you don't pay extra to maintain what you currently have.
Okay.
You may then choose in the future to pay a little bit more to run some network cabling around, but that's only if you want to do that.
Right. So they'll come in and they'll put a box sort of maybe 10 feet away from where the actual line goes into my house.
And they'll make sure it's cabled up to your existing phone.
Yeah, yep. Cool. Excellent. Thanks very much for that.
And look, we've got Jeff and Sean on from McLaren Vale and Morphett Vale. I'd be interested to hear what the news is from anyone down at Wollonga too, who've got NBN. Apparently they're getting a few texts saying perhaps we should get someone to tell us about what happens to them at the moment. But if Jeff and Sean could stick around, we'll go to them after the news headlines. Just a couple of very quick texts. Someone wanted to know, does this box on the side of the house, Simon, does this box use electricity and who pays for the electricity?
Yes, the box uses electricity and yes, I guess you do, notwithstanding that it's not a very large amount compared to the computers that you're then going to connect it up to.
Okay, so what would we be looking at? $10 a year? $5 a year?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, nothing huge.
So it'd be fractions of a cent per day or something, is it?
Yes, they're not massive.
All right. Someone else says, the way technology is moving so fast, why would you not go for the biggest and the best technology currently available? Another person says, Simon Hackett, we know where his preferences lie. So there.
We do. He likes this stuff to work. Okay. Work well for everyone.
Okay. Hello, why am I losing your signal 30 to 60 seconds, says Glenn. I think he's referring to us, is it? Yeah, maybe he is. Anyway, look, we're going to get to some of these texts and a couple more callers after the news headline with Paul McCarthy. And, Paul, I understand there's some more news coming out of Boston. Good morning. Morning program with me, Ian Henschke. We're talking to Simon Hackett. The temperature in Adelaide is 18 degrees, so there we go. And, look, just some news that's come in. Official reports are now coming out of Boston on ABC News 24 that there has been a third confirmed death. And as you heard in the headlines there, one of those death is unfortunately a young child. Now to our topic of the morning that's just going hot. I mean, I cannot believe this. Haven't seen the switchboard light up like this for years. Jeff of McLaren Vale. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi. I've got ADSL 2 at the moment and I'm quite happy with it. I can ask for something on the internet. I get it within a second or two at the most and I don't see the need for anything else.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to pay. I think they could use the profits from my mobile phones to pay for it, but I understand the copper network won't last forever, but I mean, every organisation has to renew its infrastructure. It should be done from their profits, not from charging us more, I don't think.
Okay.
The challenge here is we're trying to build a new infrastructure for the next 50 years.
Yep.
It's okay for your needs at the moment, and you might feel differently if your particular copper line didn't work nearly as well.
Yeah.
And what I will say, though, is a very strong part of government policy here on both sides of the fence is to make sure that if you do not require a greater outcome than you currently have, that you can maintain the current outcome on the new network at the same price, right?
Oh.
You don't have to pay more to do better than this.
Oh, that's great relief.
But the enticement will obviously be there to go faster and do better things when you need to.
Sure. Thanks. All
right. Okay, good on you, Jeff. Sean, good morning.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Good.
Your question?
Two things. Bit of a statement first. You know, 15 years ago, 90% of people didn't have internet in their home. So looking 15, 20, 30 years ahead, I mean, we really don't know how far this is going to go. And my question really is, Mr. Turnbull stated that if the fibre and a node goes ahead and you are, say, the closest house to the node, you'll realise maybe 100 mega, whatever they're called.
Yeah, mega thingy watts.
Yep, that's the one. And if you're at the extreme end of that node to copper, you may realise a minimum of 25. What is the actual capability of copper to deliver?
Okay, it's a very it's a very good point you're making, a fundamental difference between copper and fibre. What you've just perfectly described what copper delivers, which is the speed you can obtain on copper is very strongly related to how long that piece of copper is. The longer the copper, the slower the result you get. And so you get this built-in inequity about the speeds people obtain just by the simple accident of where they live relative to where the exchange is or relative to where one of these future boxes will be. It's the nice thing about fibre is that everybody gets full speed all of the time. And so from my point of view personally, it's one of the real advantages of using fibre is absolute equity of access. If an ISP says you're going to get speed X, you have the capability to get speed X. I kind of hate the inequity. I hate living in a world where I have last 20 years where some people are doing great and some people are doing terribly just by the accident of where the house happens to be.
Okay. Robert of Hampstead Gardens. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Ian. Good morning.
Simon, yep.
Simon, yeah. Just a point about the telephone. You said it gets reconnected. People must understand they will connect to only the first point or the original point, which is owned by Telstra. So if people have got multiple phone connections in the house, they won't be. Those will just run on the ordinary connection.
Yeah, you'll get, but the one, and the one connection that comes in though can still be shared amongst lots of phones in the same way that it currently is. Then the absolute aim, as we've talked about already this morning, is to try to produce the least disturbance possible to people who just want to keep the phone.
I'm going to say, if people want to know what the box looks like, it looks basically like if people have got Foxtel, they've got very similar boxes on their houses.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's the sort of little box we've all seen in lots of other contexts. It's like I said, like about the size of a lunchbox. The power, you know, plug the power in, the fibre goes in the back, and the phone comes out the front.
All right, let's get to Barry now from Wollonga. Barry.
Yeah, good morning. We had the new fibre hooked up to our place a couple of weeks ago, and just to pass a comment, my wife's actually livid.
Okay.
They've stuck boxes all over our wall. There's cables running all over the place. And it's a bit of a mess, and when you speak to them, it's like, well, it's nobody's issue. It's got nothing to do with the NBN. It's Telstra's fault, and it's got nothing to do with Telstra. It's NBN's fault. So.
Oh well, don't
We've just got a mess. Actually, it's a real pain in the bum.
Have they finished the job, Barry?
Apparently.
Sincerely, Barry, I'd go back to NBN Co, who I would say it is the issue for, not Telstra, because it's an NBN connection.
They've put where the cable comes out from the wall down to the boxes, that's 4 feet up the wall, and we've just got loose wires just hanging from that down to the boxes that they've put all over the wall, and there's cables. It looks like a tin of spaghetti's been chucked to the wall.
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, conversely, I've seen some really brilliantly done installations, and the trouble here, of course, is you're suffering from the individual contractor who sounds like didn't do a great job in your case. I would sincerely go back to NBN Co, who are ultimately responsible for the quality of that, and say, oi, come back and do that better.
Well, thank you for your advice on that. It's one of those difficult issues when they're talking about switching off your landline and everything in the next 18 months, so you don't have any choice but to move.
Right, right. And part of the challenge here will be that towards the latter stages of that, they will be in a hurry to get it all done on time.
Well, I think that might be the case now, actually. But, Well, look, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Barry. Bill would like to know if landlines are able to be adapted to receive SMS.
It's a little off the topic, but yeah, they are. There are some ways of doing that. I know Telstra in particular have got some services where you can make SMSs turn up on landlines, which is kind of cute.
Okay.
But then again, if you've got a mobile phone, of course, it turns up on that.
All right. Julia from Mount Barker, getting lots of calls from the hills. good morning, Julia.
Good morning, guys. Look, I've just got a quick question. We live 6 kilometres east of Mount Barker. We're right underneath the Mount Barker summit on its southern side. And for the last 7 years we've been living there, we suffer from a paired gain telephone line, which for the first 18 months we lived on our property was actually running along the ground, uncovered. And then when we complained about the fact that we had our telephone line and our neighbours' telephone lines just lying on top of the ground, which could be trampled by livestock and driven over by cars, they finally fixed that. Now, we suffer from a very slow we don't have broadband. We can only get wireless, for which we pay an absolute premium. And when I looked on the map for the NBN Co's installation area, it stops on the eastern boundary of Mount Barker. Mm. Now, I just find that absolutely ludicrous when we're 46 kilometres from the centre of the CBD and we're classified as rural and remote by the NBN Co.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? And it's, I will say it's tough on both sides of the fence. You imagine the poor guys in NBN Co trying to work out where to put that line on the map as well. And I know this makes you feel no better, but imagine they draw the line just past your place and then the person next door would feel exactly the same as you.
Yes.
It is tough.
But on that point, Julia and Simon, Mount Barker was listed at one stage as being the fastest growing region in Australia, and we are encouraging people, I suppose, to go to that area. You're saying that they'll miss out on the NBN?
No, it's that there's currently three ways the NBN can deliver your service, and the coalition policy is to make there to be four ways that you might get your service, and they're different quality levels. One of the things that has been said though, and is that the intention, especially under the coalition policy, is to produce a world where if you want to pay a bit extra, they might drag it out to you. I know that doesn't sound like the most fabulous choice, but you have the option in principle to pay more to get the fibre extended to you at your expense.
All right.
That may actually be worth it if what you've currently got is that bad.
All right, Peter from Hampstead Heights. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to mention what the other lady said before in relation to pair gains. I just wonder how many people are on pair gains. That's just one thing. I'm not. But I just wanted to say that I've had about 25 call-outs since about middle of October in relation to dropouts, noises on the phone line, all of these sort of things. But it means that the modem to where I get my ADSL connection through, and which is instantly with Internode, it just totally drops out. In other words, it doesn't matter what speed I'm at, it's zero when it drops out.
And what do you do, Peter? What's your line of work then?
I was an electrical fitter, but I'm retired now.
But you said you've had call-outs. What are you talking about there?
No.
Got the technicians out to fix it.
What I'm saying is Telstra has come out here about 25 times,
right,
up the road here, and people around me have all complained about the same sort of thing. And they're all saying, well, look, yeah, the cables that are in the ground, apparently insulation that they used for where the terminators were, is actually going down and destroying the copper cables under the ground. It's seeping in between the copper and the outer sheet. This is what the technicians tell me from Telstra.
All right.
Yeah, so this...
it's basically falling apart. So if they want to use that as for the NBN and say, well, you don't need the fibre optic, you can just use the old cable, I'd say that's a lot of hoo-ha, because this last mile, or not even mile, a couple of hundred metres perhaps at most, it's just been a nightmare.
Yeah, and realistically, nightmare. That last few hundred metres is the oldest cable that's been in the ground the longest, and that's exactly
and
the challenge.
And this is at Hampstead Heights, how old would that be, that area?
But that's the challenge. That's why people, geeks like me, love the idea of putting fibre in, partly because it's really cool and nifty and fast.
And it's made of glass, is it?
Right, and partly because it's just that the copper's actually a bit tired at this point.
And so if you're going to replace it
with something that's going to last a heck of a lot longer, that's immune to water, that's immune to electronic interference.
And white ants too.
Okay. It's glass. Nothing touches it.
All right. Tash from Hope Valley. Morning, Tash.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I've got pretty major concerns about Telstra or the government, leaving the copper wire in the line and simply going fibre to the node. We used to have our internet connection with Internode, and we had brilliant customer service, and we were with them for 6 years. But then about 2 years ago, we started to get disconnections on a very regular basis, to the point where we couldn't even maintain a connection for longer than 5 minutes on our ADSL modem.
Mm-hmm.
We had Internode sent independent technicians out to investigate the problem. Telstra sent technicians out to investigate the problem. And Telstra kept trying to say, oh, there's something wrong with your house. We actually organised for the whole house to be rewired, removed all the telephone wire, got Cat5 cable through the whole house, different modems and everything. Contacted the ombudsman, the telecommunications ombudsman, about it, because Internode kept saying, well, the issue is the copper wire that's in the ground. And in the end, Telstra eventually came clean, I guess, and said, yes, the copper wire has completely degraded and is pretty much unusable. And we said, well, replace it. And they said, no, it's too expensive. Your only option is to either wait for a full fibre optic connection to your house on the national broadband network, or B, change to a Telstra cable connection. And unfortunately, that's what we had to do.
Tash, we were just almost out of time. We've gone way over time with this one. We've just got to get one more caller in before we have to leave it. As you say, there are a lot of calls wanting. Penny, good morning, Penny.
Yes, good morning. A few callers back, a lady from out of Mount Barker. Well, I'm basically in the same situation. I can actually see Mount Barker from where my driveway, and the only place I can use my mobile phone is if I stand on my driveway, and my landline has been hanging on our neighbour's fence for 8 years, and nobody will come and bury the bloody thing.
Yeah, okay. And these stories, you know, these stories are manifest, aren't they? The majority of the coppers fine, but the ones that are bad are terrible. It's one of the great appeals here is that sooner or later, we have to replace this stuff. The only question is the question of when.
When and how much, I suppose. Is that right.
And if you don't do it now, you know you're going to have to do it later. But when is later?
All right, well, I can tell you, whatever happened this morning, somehow or other, we overloaded our text machine and it's gone into a crash mode. So I think that wasn't copper, that was some digital gremlin in there, just threw it through a wobbly and chucked that away. And the callers are also saying that 891 on digital is dropping in and out. They're not happy with the technology there, and they're going to go back to AM radio. Fed up with this rotten new technology.
Yeah, digital ghost in the machine.
All right, look, Simon Hackett, thanks for going above and beyond the call of duty this morning.
Pleasure.
45 minutes of calls. I don't know how many more were still coming in. Look, we'll have to have you back again real soon, as they say, stateside. All right.
No sweat.
Okay, thanks, Simon.